Hola, hi, hello, bienvenido, and welcome back or welcome to Mentors Today, Season 3. I'm Rob Ryan, and she's Ileana Jaime Felix. Ile, what's going on?
Hello, Rob.
How are things in Guadalajara? Everything good?
Yeah, everything good.
Awesome. So why don't you, we got a really special guest. He's a great friend, but there's so much to talk about today. Why don't you go ahead and introduce and tell our audience a little bit more about our guest.
Yes, I'm super excited to present the guest of the day. He's our friend and a great leader in Latin America, Federico Antoni. Federico is a pioneer in venture capital industry in Mexico. In 2012, he co-founded Antolilelo and Larrea Venture Capital, which everybody knows as OVP, the first institutional early stage venture capital fund in the country. As managing partner of LVP, Federico has successfully raised two funds focused on Seed, Series A, and Series B investments. He has overseen 25 investors to date across four sectors: fintech, digital customer, healthcare, and smart cities. And he also, in addition to LVP, Federico's entrepreneurial drive led him to start two more companies, Fondeadora, the principal crowdfunding platform in Latin America, and Venture Institute, a premier seed acceleration program. Federico is an entrepreneurship and management lecturer at Stanford Graduate School of Business, where he received his MBA in 2004. He also holds both bachelor's and master's degrees in applied economics. And this is just a little that I can tell you about Federico, but he has a great and a big trajectory in marketing and business in Latin America. So today we are very grateful to have you here, Federico. Welcome.
Hola, hola. Thank you so much for having me. Really, really happy to be here.
No, it's such a pleasure. Fede is just an awesome human being. He's got a big heart. He's got a big brain. It's just an honor to have you on the show today, buddy.
Really happy to be here, Rob. I love you, Ileana. I love you. So very happy to be here.
Awesome. So let's just dive right into it. You've got so many insights that you can share that can inform entrepreneurs, stakeholders, other investors, right? About what's going on, how we got here, but maybe even more importantly than how we got here, what the future's like. But I want to start with a really personal question. When we were doing our prep and our research, I stumbled across an awesome quote on your LinkedIn profile, which is, life is about the people you meet and the things you create with them. So go out and start creating. And it's the Holste Manifesto. So why don't you tell us why company building and working with entrepreneurs is your creative passion?
Well, I think that quote summarizes well. That's why I like it. It's actually one of the walls at OVP here in Mexico City. One of the most exciting things about our job is the people we get to meet and the people we get to work with. So imagine our luck, Rob and Ile. We're basically seated in a job which basically involves meeting as many creative, passionate, driven people as we can. We get to choose from literally thousands of teams, the ones that we feel more passionate about, the ones that we have a bigger connection with, the ones that we think we can help the most. And we get to work them in their dreams while they're building big things and solving important problems. We get to join their ride and their mission for 10 years. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's like the best job ever.
It sounds like the best job ever. I would love to be part of something like that. It's just inspiring.
You and I wake up every morning, and although we approach that same opportunity from different points of view professionally, that is literally how I feel every day. It's just incredible.
Absolutely. And I don't think it is something that can only be found as a venture capital investor. But it's just that we get to do it more, perhaps. And whenever I speak to students at Stanford or to young future entrepreneurs, I always tell them to focus on the people they're going to work with and to optimize for that. If you optimize for the people you work with, partner with, in general, things are going to go well.
See.
And when choosing a career, instead of thinking if you love this or this other industry, if you're passionate about this or this other function, I think the most important thing is to imagine the kind of people you're going to work with and interact with in whatever job, whatever career you're thinking about. And if working with those people, interacting with them is something that you feel passionate about, then you should go for it.
See, I couldn't agree more. So I'm going to ask you a follow-on question. And then I know Ilya's got a bunch of questions for you. So Let's talk about that, right? Like you and I are super active. We are the kings of memes and GIFs on Twitter. And we're so active. You're so active in talking about and amplifying the companies that you work with. And you're so proud. Sometimes I feel like you're like a proud dad, right? Like, you're pumping these teams and these founders and these deals up. Right. They are. I mean, and I say this as a dad, like that's the ultimate compliment, right? So why don't you do this? Why don't you share with our audience, maybe two ends of the spectrum, maybe a couple of companies that you're just super proud of, the trajectory, the recent growth, how they got to where they are. We all know you've had some incredible things go on in the last year with some of your portfolio companies. And then if you can, maybe, you know, we're not asking you to break news here, but maybe sneak peek a couple of two or three companies that are coming up that are going to dominate this next decade. I think that'd be really cool if you shared that.
Of course. So first of all, let me, if I may, and Rob, I hate to correct you, but
please.
I think the right metaphor, yeah, rather than being a dad, because being a dad involves like educating or knowing more or being more experienced. I think I'm more of a like a coach. Imagine me,
you are
in a court on the sidelines, sometimes helping with directions and more often just cheering and admiring what a team is doing in the market.
That's awesome. That is a better description.
yes. And about the companies that really excite me right now, I'm going to talk about two of them. One is Yana. Yana is the mental health app leading the Spanish-speaking world. It has been downloaded by more than 7 million Spanish speakers all around the world, including the US, of course. And it is led by a spectacular leader. Her name is Andrea. Andrea is 27 years old. She's a dropout of a university in Mexico. She's originally from Cancun. And she dropped out because she actually had struggled with depression. And she wanted to solve that problem since she couldn't access for help. It was difficult for her to find professionals. So she built an app. Started in 2017 and struggled a bit at the beginning. She was even younger at the time. She didn't have any experience. She was based in Cancun, so she had trouble finding investors. She had obviously not that much experience building companies or building products, so she had to tell herself how to code and learn how to build an audience. And her passion, her leadership, her brilliance led her to build an amazing product, an amazing chatbot that connected with people struggling with their mental health. And it was a build-up that took years. And suddenly last year, it took off and went from having maybe 100,000, 200,000 downloads to millions of downloads. And when you talk to her, and I really encourage your audience to find a podcast and try to listen to her, you see the clarity of her mission, you see her passion, and when you use the product, so it's Yana, you can download it for Android or iOS, it's just a delightful experience. It's we're talking to a human. It's wonderful. So I'm really excited about Yana because I think Andrea is going to change the world. And she's 27, so she has a lot of time to do that.
Awesome. That's terrific. Wow.
And you were going to talk about another one.
Yes. Right? So there's another one which I think is really interesting. It is also one that is just starting. We invested a year ago, and it's a company called Super. The company is wonderful in that it wants to democratize insurance in Latin America. Latin Americans do not have the culture to insure themselves. And not being insured can actually be pretty bad in life. You can go bankrupt as a family. You can find yourself having no access to healthcare. you can leave a family without means. So insurance is actually one of the best inventions of humans because it allows us to live and to be protected against terrible things. And this team, led by Sebastian, young fintech entrepreneur, absolutely brilliant. He's the kind of entrepreneurs, Rob Ile, that when you're speaking to them, you actually kind of see in their eyes how their brain is going super fast, you know?
Yeah. I literally love those people. I try and talk to one of those people every day if possible.
And you literally, I mean, feel that you're going too slow always. But they're basically started with earthquake insurance, then launched COVID insurance, launched a great life insurance product. And they're deploying a new way to insure people that starts by educating them and then providing a delightful experience for buying insurance, which is something that is impossible to find. So we're very excited. It is a very, very hard problem to solve, but one that would have an impact in millions of people.
And looking backward just for a second, you've obviously had some great companies. Some of the companies that you have supported and staked on early have had some great successes recently. Is there any of those you'd like to highlight?
Yeah. So my favorite company ever is Corner Shop. So Corner Shop is a grocery delivery app. Most of the audience has probably used them. We're about to launch Los Angeles. Or I should say, Ubi is about to launch Los Angeles.
All right.
So Fede, let me tell you, the question was a plant because I wanted the excuse to be able to tell you on this show that last Saturday I used Corner Shop inside of Uber to order groceries.
That's amazing.
For the first time ever in Los Angeles.
That's awesome. That's amazing. Cool.
So we actually I met Oscar, who's a Swedish founder, a Swede that made Chile his home country, was adopted by Chile, and I met him in 2015 when he was thinking of launching this app with his teammates, Danny and Chuck. They're a spectacular team. Oscar be the top or one of the top tech CEOs in the region. He's smart, driven, charming, creative. I mean, he's just amazing. And beyond the returns, CornerShop was a spectacular investment for us. It returned 5x our fund too. Beyond that, CornerShop, it's how I learned the craft. Basically, before we invested in CornerShop, we had invested in 17 companies.
Wow.
And it took us 70 companies to find this absolutely spectacular investment. And it took us 17 companies, 3 years, to start learning what our place in the journey of an entrepreneur is, how we can be helpful, how we can be friendly, what's our role really. And it took us a lot more years to start understanding it. And that's why Corner Shop is such an amazing company for me, because it is a great investment. I made great friends that are friends for life. And I learned the craft of VC, which is something that 10 years in, I still think I'm just a beginner. I still feel that I need to learn so much more. But Corner Shop basically put me in a place where I could start learning and building my career as an investor.
Cool. I was just listening to you and I had two questions. The first one, while I was listening to you, you speak a lot about the people behind the company and the passion of the people and how they are amazing to build this company. And I was wondering, okay, of course it has to be a business behind, but it is more about the people or is more about the business to have a successful investment or a company to took off. And the other question, those entrepreneurs right now are the same as the entrepreneurs like 10 years ago in passion or the new entrepreneurs are different, are more fast, or what are the difference between those entrepreneurs that you your faith in them than the ones that now you're starting to see in this new world that we have post-pandemic?
Those are great questions, Elaine. Uh-huh. So the first one, it's pretty easy to answer. And my answer is it's only about the people.
Okay.
The people, the team, the leader. So she's gonna recruit more people. She's by recruiting more people to her team, by federating more investors, she's gonna build a culture. She's gonna set the stage for building an organization. And so what matters is her, right? What matters is the leader or the leaders of a company, and she's gonna make it a business. If you bet in the right person, in the right team that understands that in order to have huge impact, in order to build huge organizations, you need to provide the economical logic to your plan. So she knows that, and she'll make that happen. So it's only about the people. The second question is also an easy one. So everything has changed. The founders have more experienced. Founders have started a couple of companies before. Founders are more technical. Founders have better backing, have access to more talent, to more capital, have access to more resources. Mm-hmm. But the main change, what has changed, and it has become a game changer for the region, and that is that the people that are starting companies right now, they truly believe they can build a humongous organization. The people that are starting right now, they have the ambition and the conviction that they're going to build the next Mercado Libre, the next Nubank, the next corner shop. And that is a huge difference. And that is why we're going to see many, 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 many corner shops in the future. And that's what we were lacking before.
Okay. But you think it's in Latin America or in general?
No, in Latin America.
Okay.
And what changed? Why do we have more ambitious, more impactful, more convinced founders today? That's because we had the pioneers.
Yeah.
That's because we have role models, and you have this, you have David and Lorraine of Kavak, and you have Oscar of Corner Shop, and you have all that first generation of entrepreneurs that show the way. So the current generation of entrepreneurs are building on the shoulders of those giants.
That's awesome.
That's what's changed.
So you think in 5 years we will going to see many great companies?
Absolutely. I think it's something that will come over time, but it is a certainty.
Okay.
I remember when people asked us many, many years ago, obviously too often, and it was almost irritating to how often we got asked those questions. And the question was, why don't you have unicorns in Spanish-speaking Latin America? Why aren't there big companies? And it was just a matter of time. And that's what we told investors, and that's what we told everybody that was interesting or kind of looking at the ecosystem. It was just a matter of time. So time is what is going to make all the difference, and that's obviously going faster and faster these days. So you can expect to see many, 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 many big tech companies, impactful companies, in the years to come. That's a certainty.
Yeah.
What is uncertain is which companies, which industries are investors going to make money,
mm-hmm.
is all this capital going to be properly deployed? Those are obviously questions that are important to the investors investing. But the real question, which is, are we going to see many, many, many corner shops and many, many, many new banks and many, many, many BVAS? And the answer is yes, absolutely, a certainty.
Awesome. So I have a different twist, and we're getting towards the last part of the show here, but I have a twist that I think it's important for us to touch on. A lot of energy right now, based on a lot of the success and the foundation that you've described and that you've been an active part of building, is now shifting towards the other side of your table, which is like, hey, I'm raising a new fund, right? And I'm raising another new fund, and we're raising another new fund, and they're niche focused, and they're you know, focused on this industry or focused on this founder profile, et cetera. And so help me understand, what do we need to do, or what is being done already to activate more of what someone might call like old traditional money, or you know, money that's typically used to being invested in real estate or their friends, other, you know, other buddies' company, or buying up more apartments. How are you guys activating or finding those conversations with, for those unfamiliar with venture capital? It's not Fede's money, right? Fede's not just some rich guy.
No.
they are custodians. They are custodians of other people's money. And those other people are called limited partners or investors. So I'm really curious, because I see so much activity now. Like, what's the next iteration of this part of the industry, Fede?
On the LP side, times have changed dramatically. When we started, we had to explain to local investors what venture capital was. We had to explain what a startup was. We had to explain everything. We had some great investor that entrusted us with their money, and we're excited to have provided great results. But it was all about educating the market, the local market, and I think that it took a village. Because it was obviously not only OVP or Antonia and Federico, it was Christine, and it was Hernan and Rafa, and so many people that started educating local investors. We had also to convince them, and this is kind of weird in a way. We had to convince local investors to invest in their own country, because there's a great deal of diversification appetite in the local investors, so they prefer to invest outside of Latin America. So that's, I would call it, the first phase. The second phase is we needed, in order to raise larger fund, we needed to also convince foreign investors. And there, you didn't have to convince to explain to them what VC was or what a startup was, but you needed to explain what Latin America was. And you needed to convince them that even though nobody had ever done well as a VC in the region, nobody had returned money in the region, you could be one of the first ones to do it. So you had to convince them, explain, educate them again about the region, about the potential, about explain why unicorns would happen, why exits would happen, and why VCs would be successful. And it took again a village, and it took everybody that's been raising capital, Monica and Angel, and everybody that has been doing this for years. And it was a hard sell for many, many years. I would say that until 2019, it was a very, very hard sell. And COVID happened, things exploded. The VC world just realized that when you have a corner shop and no bank in the region, there's something happening. And now we are in the best place we've ever been, which is, now I have to explain to investors why they should invest in OVP and not in our colleague. Which is amazing.
Right.
Now
the competitive landscape.
Of course. Now I have to convince them that I will do a good job with investing their money and will provide a good return, and that I'm better or a good investment for their portfolio. So that's a better conversation.
Right, which is healthier for everybody, absolutely, right? It's just because now you're having to value the differentiation game, just like the companies, just like the founders, like that's the way it should be.
Absolutely. And on the second part of your question, which is what is going to happen to the VC? Do we need more VCs in the region? Are they going to be successful? Do they have to bring new strategies to the marketplace? The answer is yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We need 10x more investors. We need 10x more VCs.
There you go. There's the breaking news, people. 10x.
Of course.
That's awesome.
Of course. We've done nothing. And we need fresher eyes, and we need new forms of VCs, and we need more women, and we need more people that don't look like me and that don't come from my background, for God's sake. We need younger investors and maybe older investors. I mean, we need everything. It's still being built. So hopefully, I hope that every year we'll have many, many, many new GPs.
Oh man, I think it is like the ultimate challenge for me. It's still like I wish I could. I mean, we are doing this to inspire more people to that, to become real. But sometimes for me, it's like, I wonder how can I be a VC as a woman? And yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot of things to learn. Still a lot of things to learn. But of course, it is the best time to do it. So it is just...
Ile. Go build a VC and look to great role models. You have, for instance, Lolita Tob, who's building her VC starting with a community.
Okay.
That's perhaps the most interesting way to build a VC right now. So you can do that. You can become a VC by having an interesting insight of the market. And obviously, the fact that you have more empathy, that you have a better way to talk to half of the talent pool, and probably the better half of the talent pool, Ile, is obviously very interesting. So go build it. Absolutely.
definitely the better half of the talent pool, 100%. By the way, the minute that question came out of your mouth, I was like, I know what Freddie's about to say. I know what he is going to tell her to do. Okay, so Ile is going to take us through the finish. She's got a fun question for you first, and then we're going to wrap up.
We want to change a little bit the subject, but we want to know, well, I want to know outside your business and life, teaching or in all your working life, what are your three most favorite things to do with your time?
So that's that's a great question. The first one is spending time with my kids.
Being a father.
being a father and meeting wonderful people and building things with them. The ultimate privilege is being a father. You have, in my case, four humans that spend 20 years, maybe 25 years with you, a big part of their life, and you have the privilege of being there for them and the privilege of seeing four personalities grow, which is something that's amazing. Beyond that, which is my favorite thing, I really love to travel. Travel is a passion for Cecile, my wife, and we every time we can have a chance to travel, discover new countries, and you know, like not spending a couple of days in a city and then a couple of days in another city, and just staying for a while, you know, maybe a month in a city and discovering how it is to live in that city. That is definitely a passion. There is something that I really enjoy and I haven't done lately because it's been quite a close of the year. But I really enjoy to write, Ile.
Okay.
You are very good at it. You are very good writer.
About something in specific, or what is?
I write a lot about my work and my journey, mm-hmm. and about the people I meet. My mother is a novelist.
Oh.
And I mean she's an amazing personality and she's incredible. And I think that having been born in that environment actually gave me perhaps that hobby, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I do it with great pleasure, and I write in English, which is if you've been hearing me for half an hour, you would say, why the hell are you writing in a language that you can barely speak? But I write in English and I really enjoy it. So that's the third thing. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. And before we go, in each episode, we invite our guests to be the mentor of the day and to share three pieces of advice to our audience so they can go back and apply them into their lives. So now, Federico, you are the mentor of the day, and we want you to share with us three pieces of advice to entrepreneurs or stakeholders in the Americas so they can get inspired and go and build the next great Latin America.
Thank you. I love that question, and I really love to tell about my experience, and if that serves as an advice, great. The first one is, it's all about people. Mm-hmm. Your career, the company you build, the partnership you create, the investors you invite to join your startup, it's all about people. And when you're clear about that, the decisions become easier in a way. There's more clarity because our world is difficult. The information is always incomplete. There are always risks. But when you have clarity about your priority, which in my opinion should be the people, mm-hmm. then you can take better decisions. The second piece of advice is that people and founders in particular, but also investors, should never forget their mission. You should never forget why you started your company in the first place. Mm-hmm. And it's easy. It's easy to forget it because if you're very successful, you start getting a lot of coverage, media coverage, and people start telling you that you're amazing, and you kind of forget that you're building this up to have an impact and to solve a problem, and you get into the startup echo chamber and it's never good. And that happens to investors as well. You get to think that you have more of a role in companies. You forget that luck is such a big part of your success that you get like self-involved and you're getting too much into your head. So never forget the mission. My last piece of advice is one, probably the one that I try to work on the most myself, which is to be kind to yourself and be kind to other people. And kindness, which is something that comes very naturally to Rob, is one of the best ways to live life. And never forget about that. You need to be kind to other humans and you need to be kind to yourself. And that I think a lot about and that I work a lot about. And it needs to grow on you rather than thinking that it's something that's just natural or not natural.
Cool. Thank you so that's much. Awesome. I love the kind part. I think if you're kind, you can build the other three ones.
Yes. Same.
No, that's awesome. Hey, I'm just going to say thank you. And I'm going to say something you might not hear pop up on many VC-oriented business podcasts, but I love you, buddy. I think you're awesome. You know that. I have deep admiration for you, but I love you, and I think you're just a terrific human. I'm grateful. I know you don't do a lot of these podcast things because you love to highlight and amplify and put other people in the seat, but for you to take time to spend time with us and our audience today is just super grateful.
Thank you so much.
I'm thankful for this conversation and for you all as well. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, before we leave, can you share with us where we can find you on social media?
Yes. So I'm at Federico Antoni, so pretty easy, just my name on Twitter. That's where I'm most active. You can find me there, DM me there. Mm-hmm. Happy to chat.
Cool. Great. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Rob, too, to be part of this show.
No, thank you. Awesome. Thanks, guys. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Today's show was recorded in Los Angeles and Guadalajara, produced by Deanna Bernal in Mexico City, and promoted by the content team at Growth Hacks in Tijuana, Mexico. You can always find and share our show via any popular podcasting platform, as well as find us on social media at Mentors Today on Instagram. If you'd like to connect with our host, you can find them on Twitter or Instagram at I Am Rob Ryan or at Ileana JAF. Gracias, thank you, and we'll see you next time.